Awesome. Y'all look so beautiful, you know? And I love listening to your voices while you're singing. You sound good too. Not only do you look good, but you sound good. And oftentimes I just want to stop and hear you while you're singing. It's beautiful. Okay. So this is the series that we're in right now called Out of the Shadows. This is coming from our series right now where I said I had this heavy burden on me and I was going to preach it until it was done. And that we were going to go slow, I'd pull us back in order to investigate stuff. I'm going to take some of the things from January that I said are going to be woven in between as God was leading us. And so we have been looking at, primarily camped in, started with Mark chapter 8, going to then also coinciding with that is Matthew 16 and Luke 13. And then we camped a little bit in Psalm 23, 24, 25, asked you to camp there on your own. That was your homework, you know, let it read your heart and investigate. Brought in some other Psalms for you, expanded the verses a little bit, Mark 7 to 9, Matthew 15 to 17, Luke 12 to 14. We're still in those spaces and places, okay? We're still in those spaces and places. Today, we're actually going to read this part of the portion that we're in where I talked about it. It's about Peter. So Alin's done a great job of getting our podcasts set up so that you can actually follow the series if you want to recap what we've done so far. But we're actually going to be looking at a portion of scripture that appears in those three gospels differently, but it's expanded a little bit in Matthew chapter 16, starting in verse 13. So if you have your Bibles, pull it out. Again, on our screen, it's going to be in the NASB, Adam's like, Tab, can we get another translation? This is my youth, right? I'm like, Adam, this is the Bible I'm in right now. You know, I change Bibles as I destroy them because I don't want them to become wallpaper. I write all over them. So here we go. Starting in verse 13, we're going to read it before we do. I pray right now in Jesus' name that your spirit would move on your word and that you would hover over the hearts of every individual, and that your revelation would come to the seed of the word that is being planted. Father, I pray, Lord, that your Son would be glorified and magnified. I pray that our minds would be transformed. I pray that we would be able to see spiritual things and hear your voice as we read and camp in your word. May your word go out to do what it's accomplished for us, in us, through us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, I'm going to stop there. Stop, full stop. I talked about this circle. I talked about how Jesus in this story, let me lead in, as he was coming out, he was up here. Caesarea Philippi is up here, okay? Bethsaida is over here. The wilderness is over here, where he just fed 4,000 in Mark, okay? And over here was Dalmanuta on this side, okay? So, Dalmanuta. And I had talked about this being the map of Israel. This is the Jordan over here going down to the Dead Sea. I had talked about all of that, okay? You're tracking with me? So we had come over here, Dead Sea's over there. Here he goes, he feeds the people over here, does this beautiful miracle. They want to make him king, it says, when you read all three gospels. He's like, I don't think so, gets in a boat, crosses over, lands here at Dalmanuta, and all of a sudden is encountered, as soon as he gets off the boat, encountered by Pharisees and Sadducees. And not only Pharisees and Sadducees, but Herodians. Herodians are part of the royal house of Herod. Here, they have this conversation. It does not go well. They want a sign. He's not going to give them one. He gets back onto the boat. The guys forgot the bread. Okay? And they're crossing over here. to go heal this guy in Bethsaida who's blind. Remember? As they're crossing the lake, Jesus says, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod," in Mark. In Matthew's gospel, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." All right? In other places in scripture, especially in Paul's writings, he talks about that being hypocrisy. Saying one thing, doing another. Okay? And here, they pull this blind man out who wants to be healed. Out, Jesus pulls him out of Bethsaida, heals him, says, don't go back into that place. All right? Don't go back into that city. That's what just happened. Now, we're at this point where Jesus continues. And he goes up this little river, up to this Caesarea Philippi up here. Okay, you tracking with me? Got the lay of the land in Israel? Perfect. Here we go. Caesarea Philippi. And he was asking his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? I stop right there. Who do people say Jesus is? Anybody got anything to say?
Elijah.
Elijah. Anybody else? Who is Jesus?
John the Baptist.
John the Baptist. Anyone else?
A teacher.
A teacher. Who does the world say he is right now? Just a guy. Anybody else? Who? Love. Okay. Anyone else? A prophet. A swear word. A good teacher. Anyone else? Who is he? Niamh. A false prophet. Anyone else? What is the world saying that Jesus is? A carpenter. Anyone else? Nobody. All right? Yeah? Fictitious story. All right. So you get that the times haven't really changed any. People are still talking about him. People were talking then. People are talking now. And he is going, so who do people actually say that I am? It's all the memes that are going on. Now, I'm sure that if you are on TikTok or Instagram or anything like that, you've seen quite a few memes lately, especially having to do with people who are very popular at this moment. Yeah? Have you seen them? That's who people are saying that he actually is, right? But he's now with his disciples, and this is the people he's been walking with for a while, right? And so in verse 14, it says, and they said, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? So now, this is the question. Who is Jesus to you?
Comforter.
Love. Who else? Who is he to you? Your friend. Who else? Redeemer, Savior. Who else? Your everything. Your role model. Hope, your hope. Jamie. Your guide. Your only hope. Niamh. Your lifeline. Your crutch. Yeah. The name above every other name. You hear the responses are a little different when you're intimately involved. So by saying he is my comforter, the assumption is that when April needs comfort, you know where she's going. By saying he is my hope or my only hope, that means when despondency comes knocking, you are running into where hope is and lives because you know it exists there. Correct? He is my friend. He is the one who carries me. He is a father to me. He is the lover of my soul. He is the one who covers my nakedness. He's the one who has lifted my head and got rid of my shame. My sister says, he is my brokenness. But who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. They've been hanging out with him. And all of a sudden, the lights go on. Ding, ding, this is who you are, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I also say to you that you are Peter. And upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. I will give you, Esperi, this is my Portuguese coming out. Esperi, let me see. The keys. I will give you the keys. The keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth, beep, beep, will be bound in heaven. Beep, beep. And whatever you loose on earth, beep, beep, will be loosed in heaven. Beep, beep. Now I'm just going to do that just in case because my range does go pretty far. Then I've unlocked the Jeep. You know, it's like a free-for-all over there. Okay, but you get the point. Then he warned his disciples. After this revelation, he warned his disciples that they should tell no one that he was the Christ. Well, this is big news. Don't tell him he's your friend. Don't tell him he's your brokenness. Don't tell people that he is your hope. Don't tell them. Don't tell them. Okay? This huge revelation. It's like winning the lottery. They just won the lottery. They pinned it down and figured out who he was. How many of you are still trying to figure out who God is and how he works? They figured it out in that moment. Peter did anyways. And this is what happened. Right after that, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things by the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God, forbid it, Lord, this shall never happen to you. But he turned, Jesus that is, and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and will then repay every man according to his deeds. Truly, I say to you, there are some of those who are standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. This is the word of the Lord. Peter, God bless Peter. We're going back to verse 17. Blessed are you. Where have we heard that before? Blessed are you. Beatitudes. Thank you, Felix. Blessed are you when what? When you realize you're poor in spirit. Blessed are you when what? When you mourn. Blessed are you when what? If you don't know where that is, it's in Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are you when you are gentle. Blessed are you when you hunger and you thirst for righteousness. Blessed are you when you are merciful. Blessed are you when you are pure in heart. Blessed are you when you are peacemakers. Blessed are you when you are persecuted. Blessed are you. When you hear the words, blessed are you, you should be going, ah, I've heard that before. How does blessing actually come? How does blessing actually work? What does blessing actually release? What is the call of blessing are you? Jesus follows up with, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. In the Beatitudes, we have this picture of poor in spirit, which is not strength in the world. Poor in spirit is actually a position of humility. Okay? Mourning is not beautiful. Mourning can actually feel humiliating. Have you ever had a really good cry and there's snot coming out of your nose and eyes? Maybe girls understand this more than boys. You know, eyeballs are swollen. You're having a good, solid, mourning thing. And what is that? Is it not the ripping of who you thought you were and discovering who you're not, but then birthing who you could be? Blessed are you when you are poor in spirit, when you mourn, when you are gentle. You've seen me hop on chairs. I won't do it today. I don't want to scare Scott. I'll do it anyways. I'll hop on it. I'm the king of the castle. You're the dirty rascal. Ah, beat my chest. Right? That is the opposite of gentleness. It comes with a forcefulness that wants to intimidate and control. Blessed are you when you are hungry and you are thirsting. Most of us have it really good. We don't know what it's really like to be hungry and thirsty, naked or poor. We really don't. We live in a very affluent society. Everything at our fingertips, anything we want, we can get, right? I can do that. I want this mansion on a hill. Guess what? I'll just work harder, but I can do that. And so we give ourselves over to these things all the time, feeding our independence, all the time feeding not humility and gentleness, but rising up this thing that beats our chest and declares who we are. Blessed are you. Blessed are you. Blessed are you. And the call to blessing is humility. Jesus responds to him by saying, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because it was not flesh and blood who revealed these things to you. You couldn't figure this thing out on your own, even if you tried. But it was my Father who saw your weakness and deposited truth past your head into your heart and out your mouth. Simon, you better believe, because we've watched Peter. If you've read your Bible, you know Peter. We know that he is a man who, as Glenn said, in one moment is full of faith, and then the next minute is full of fear. In one minute, he's declaring who Jesus is. In the next minute, he's being called Satan. Have you ever felt like that? Yeah. Yeah. So here's the thing. There is a paradox going on. Simon, the word Simon means to hear, okay? It means heard, but it comes from the root word to hear. When we are in humility, God hears our cry. When we are beating our chest proud and arrogant, he turns a deaf ear. It is our humility through which a blessing comes. It is in our weakness through which he moves. It is in our humbleness that revelation comes. It is our desperate need of the Holy Spirit through which things that are real are revealed. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Bar-Jonah. In Hebrew, the word bar means son. son of. Jonah is who he is a son of Jonah. The word Jonah has two meanings to it. Okay, son of, one, the first meaning is dove. Now, as soon as I say dove, you should be going, where have I heard that before? Where have I heard dove? The second word that dove comes from is wine. As soon as I say wine, oh yeah, Niamh's like, what? As soon as I say wine, Niamh, what's the first story that goes through your brain?
Turning water into wine.
Jesus turning water into wine. What is that symbolic of? The Holy Spirit. But not only that, when Jesus had to transform water into wine, the best wine there was, by the way, right? He said, it's not my time yet. What does this have to do with me? It's not yet my time. Here's the thing. Simon, to be heard or to hear, son of the dove and wine, should automatically make you think of the new covenant. When the Holy Spirit descended upon his people and now sealed them as the son of the dove, sealed them as the son of new wine, sealed you as a daughter of promise and covenant. But it only comes in humility. Flesh and blood, no effort of your own, will reveal the truths of the kingdom. But it is in sonship to the dove and in the new wine that is poured out, that flows from you, that you will actually find the revelation of who Jesus is. That revelation of who he is automatically draws you to the Father, because you see that he is the provision of a loving, just God. And Jesus goes on to say that this is the reality of heaven. And this reality of heaven, which you could never get on your own or understand fully by your own devices, can only be revealed by the Holy Spirit and the new wine through which he is pouring out that joy that comes forward in relationship, where we say, he is my friend. He is my comfort. He is my joy. He is my love. He is my brokenness. He's my weakness. He's my strength. He is the thing that overshadows me, and there is no name above any other name that can actually bring me down, because I am fully concealed, covered, hidden under his wing. There is nothing and no one who can touch me. I am my beloved's, and he is mine. It is this that he says, I also say to you that you are Peter. Wait a second, I thought he was Simon Bar-Jonah. You are Peter. There's a flip going on here. Who do people say that I am? Elijah, Jeremiah, John the Baptist, known by every other name except who he is. And then all of a sudden, Peter declares the truth. You are the Son of God. And now Jesus does the same thing and flips the narrative on Peter. Simon Bar-Jonah, son of the dove and new wine, let me tell you who you are. You are a stone. That's what Peter means, a stone, a rock. That's who you are. Now, if you read your Bible and you're a good little Bible student, you should be thinking about some other guy in the Old Testament who was known by one name and then all of a sudden known by another name. And back and forth throughout Scripture, there's this naming that goes back and forth. One minute, his name is Jacob. The next minute, his name is Israel. And then he's Israel for a while. And then all of a sudden, Scripture calls him Jacob again. And you see this play back and forth between two realities. This is the same thing taking place here. Simon Bar-Jonah, in your weakness, in your humility, and you're seeking to understand. God has revealed this to you. But then Simon Bar-Jonah, Peter the stone afterwards, is called something else. Get behind me, Satan. Why? Because all of a sudden, everything that he thought he gained at this moment here, he forgot when he rose up to say, I don't think so. You, this will never happen to you. Do you see how subtle that shift in pride was? Where all of a sudden the creator is now telling the maker, I don't think you know what you're doing. Let me tell you what's about to happen. A subtle shift in pride. And in that shift in pride, all of a sudden he's called Satan. He's partnering with the concerns of man. And the concerns of man now become the stumbling block for the kingdom. When Jacob is behaving rascally, because that's what his name is, you know, the heel catcher, the rascal. When he's rascally, he's called Jacob in scripture. But when he remembers who God is making him and his people into his family, he is then called Israel. And so we see this thing go back and forth, back and forth. Have you felt that pull in yourself? I know I have. One minute, when I'm rascally, I'm Tabby, Tabitha, Big She, whatever she calls me over there, my sister, Big She, C-Star, couldn't think of it at this moment, you know, and I am rascally. But when I come in humility, and I know I've just flipped pride and humbleness on this narrative here, this visual, but when I come in humility to him, he calls me the daughter of his heart. That's a name I cannot make up for myself. It is a name that I cannot even fulfill or be. But it is who I become as I stay in humility, leaning in on him. And this is who I'm supposed to be. This is the reality that exists in heaven as much, and it is as true as Jesus being the Son of God is true. Rascally Tabitha, in her flesh, in her pride, she is the thing that is temporal. She is the thing that is but a vapor. Daughter of my heart, she endures. It is in the endearing and endearment and enduring endearment, because you gotta want it. You got to treasure it. You got to work for it. Like, that means, ow. You get it? Because there's nothing pleasant about humility in this realm. It is seen as weakness. Where everybody has the entitlement today to spout off however they see fit. Curse your brother. Curse your leader. And what does it do? It creates an island unto itself. The moment pride exists and I rise above the community, I no longer am part of the community. It is the isolation factor that allows the wolves, the foxes, those little things to get into your dark garden, isolate you and destroy you. It is the weak spot that will overtake and consume you. And one way or another, be it today or tomorrow, as you get comfortable up here and start, I think I can go a little higher, you know, you start wiggling chairs and stuff like, guess what? One day you're going to fall. The reality is we get so comfortable in that place because it is our natural habitat. It is the environment we live in, and everything is feeding that. That this place of humility down here is so unnatural, so countercultural. But this is where the keys are. This is where keys are given to the kingdom. Because in this place, you know your proper place. In this place, you can say, holy to the Lord of all. Holy, you know? So like in this place, the song comes. this place the love flows. And this place is where recreation happens. Blessed are you when you are poor in spirit. When you mourn over what your pride. Blessed are you when you are gentle. In order to be gentle, you cannot be proud. Blessed are you when you are hungering and thirsting to do what is right. You get it? Blessed are you when you're down on the ground and people are kicking you and beating you, slapping you, calling your names, lashing out at you. Blessed are you. Blessed are you, son of the dove and new wine. I realize that it's already 12 o'clock. We're not done here in this part, but I do have some things I want you to take home and read. Keys. Get ready. Get your little piece of paper ready. Here it comes. This is your homework. Isaiah 22. Keys. Rock. Psalm 18. And I won't tell you all the scriptures. You're just going to have to read it. I want you to actually dive into it and ask him to reveal what he's saying. 1 Corinthians 10. Then I want you to focus on, and this is where if you don't know how to find this, I'm going to show you how to find this. There's this beautiful app that I teach the youth to use, and it's called, what's it called?
Blue Letter Bible.
I teach the youth to use and navigate Blue Letter Bible. Blue Letter Bible, it's free. You can download the app, okay? And you are going to type in there, new wine, old wineskins. You're going to camp on those scriptures, new wine and old wineskins. And then I want you to go back into the Beatitudes, into the Blesseds, and camp there. When you are in the Beatitudes and the Blessings, because this discussion is going to continue, we're going to camp in this section for a while. It's very, very powerful. I want you to ask yourself these questions. There's a lovely, I listen to the Bible regularly, every day actually, and I'm listening to the Bible Recap, if you're not familiar with the Bible Recap. They have this lovely little thing, priority time, quiet time structure. And this is about reading, but there is this thing called confession in this lovely little document that's free. And it is this, that you, while you are reading your scripture and while you are having your quiet time with the Lord, that you actually ask these questions. And so while you're thinking about blessed are you and the call to humility versus the call of pride, you're going to ask him things like, Father, in the last 24 hours, did I avoid doing something I should have done? I'm not going to do that. Somebody else can do that. That's not my job. It's somebody else's job. I don't get paid enough to do that. I work hard all day long. Someone else who doesn't work as hard as I do can go and do that. Oh, come on, it's real. Right? It's real. My sister's laughing. It's real. It's a real thing. Father, in the last 24 hours, did I misrepresent God in my personal conduct? Jerk! Did I do that? Meanwhile, there's a fish on the back of my car. Or did I see the homeless guy panhandling, regardless of how much money he's making, tax-free? And am I going like this? Not me. I know what you're going to do with it. You're just going to buy drugs. Father, in the last 24 hours, did I walk in honesty with God and others and myself? Did I honor you with my tongue? Did I monitor my motives? And did I depend on God or myself? Did I lean on your understanding or did I lean on mine? If y'all had endurance, I'd keep going. But I know you're probably hungry. So we're going to pause there. Reflect on this passage. Ask the Lord to instruct you. Again, we're in Matthew 16. You're going to look at Isaiah 22, a prophetic book, and you better be praying for wisdom before you start. You're going to be camping in Psalm 18 and 1 Corinthians chapter 10. You're going to look at new wine and old wineskins. That's your homework for the week. So that when we get back together, I don't have to recap and we can just keep going. Cool? Yes? Awesome. Father God, I pray that we would not harden our hearts to humility, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind so that we can actually rise from the grave into this resurrection life you've already given us, keys to a kingdom, a dove that leads us, and living waters that flow, new wine. We welcome you to interrupt our days. In Jesus' name, amen.